In today's special episode, we talk all about manifesting husbands and babies, mediums, spirit guides, and all the woo-woo stuff that I personally love and that has helped me so much along our own infertility journey and life in general. Brooke Carver and I dive deep into all of it, her story, my story, and how you can use manifestation in your own life to realize whatever dream you have in your heart. I can't wait for you to hear everything we have to share. Let's go. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Having adequate levels of minerals and proper hydration are essential when balancing your hormones, optimizing your fertility, trying to conceive, or preparing for pregnancy. For Dr. Morgan and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight Electrolyte Powders by Redmond's Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient, unrefined sea salt, which contains 60 plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These are essential for hormone balance, energy production, and overall wellness. The best part is they taste delicious and they have so many fun flavors. My personal favorite is lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan loves their strawberry lemonade. Visit redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off any of Redmond's products, from their electrolytes to their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, and bentonite clays. Again, visit redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Here's to happy hydrating along your womanhood and fertility journey. All right. So Brooke Carver is an intuitive medium and mentor helping women heal, step into the highest version of themselves, and manifest a life they love. She's also a dear friend of mine, and I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, Brooke. Thank you for being here.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. So let's just hop in. I mean, I love hearing people's story and kind of how they got to where they are, but when we say that you're a medium and you do work with manifesting, can you first kind of explain what that is for people who don't know? And then I kind of want to hear a little bit about your story as to
absolutely
how you got into that space. And then we can kind of dive into how it pertains to fertility and motherhood and all of that.
For sure. So a medium basically is someone that has a connection to the spirit world and is able to communicate to either past loved ones, spirit guides, anything in the spiritual realm in a way that most people can't. So by way of lots of practice and, you know, lucky spiritual gifts, I've been working on it for the last couple years and I'm able to help clients seek clarity and find, you know, hidden blocks that potentially they didn't ever know was in their way on their path towards whatever it is they're trying to do. And bringing in mediumship and readings is kind of just like an extra bump or help or a little extra, you know, bit of guidance that you maybe wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And it is not fortune telling. Mm-hmm. I get so many people that are like, so can you just tell me the month and day that I will conceive or meet my person or whatever? And I'm like, no. But it's more so just like you get to pick up the phone and talk to the spirit realm, who has way more information than we do, mm-hmm. and help people get to their destinations faster by way of that.
I love that. That's so amazing. Yes, you know that this is a part of the world and my belief system and how I've moved through the world that has helped me so, so much. And I have, weirdly, a lot of very intuitive medium-like people in my circle, in my family, in my friend groups. And so it's definitely around me and in my orbit all the time. I would say I'm intuitive. I'm not a medium, though. I definitely don't feel like I connect with, you know, people on the other side, but we all have different levels of intuitiveness. And, you know, whether you believe this or not, we're going to speak as if, you know, it's true for us. If this doesn't resonate with you, whatever, you can move through it or listen to the podcast with an open mind. But, you know, I believe that there are things all around us constantly that we cannot see in the 3D world. And when someone passes, they're not just dead and nothing is there. And I believe that there's souls before babies come in, you know, that are out there in the world that have maybe been in past lives and all sorts of things. So there's just a lot to unpack with all of this, but it kind of ties into, you know, there's different levels of energy and frequency, and there's just a lot more happening around us, I think, than people realize, especially in the physical space. So can you speak a little bit to about what manifesting is and what that means when you say manifesting? Because we're going to be talking about that today.
Absolutely. So probably the easiest way that I can describe it is everything all around us, even scientifically, if you want to start, you know, looking all that up, quantum physics, everything is vibrating at a different frequency. And the idea of manifesting is literally just learning how to align your frequency with the frequency of the thing that you are wanting to draw towards you. So a lot of times, most of the time, people are wanting, dreaming of, asking for, praying for, manifesting something that's of a higher vibration than where they're at. And most things we're looking for are high vibrational soulmates, babies, millions of dollars, you know, like all of these like big, huge, amazing landmark things. But the cool thing is once you start to understand how manifesting works and how vibrations work, and you start, you know, healing and releasing the things that kind of tether you down to a lower vibration, I think the easiest way that I have explained it to people is if you think of yourself like a balloon. Balloons rise naturally. They don't have to try and float. They don't have to climb this crazy tall mountain and then just balance on the top only to fall off of it. They just float. And the only thing that is keeping a balloon from rising to its fullest potential is being tied to a chair. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, you know, subconscious beliefs that are programmed into us since we were little kids, traumas that happened to us growing up, you know, hard experiences, life lessons, any of it, all of those things impact us and our ability to float. And so think of, you know, any hard thing a traumatic breakup, an abusive ex-boyfriend, a hard home life, a miscarriage, whatever it is. Those are all little weights that are tied onto your little string of your balloon, and they're just keeping you down and making it harder. And people get into their mind that raising your vibration or manifesting is something you have to like really try hard to do. And really what you have to try hard to do is cut the things that are holding you back. The rising is natural. That just happens by, you know, us by nature. Little babies are born and they're high vibe by nature. They're just that. It's the world and everything around us that kind of makes us sink back down. So the easiest way you can think about it is you're a balloon. You float by nature. If you cut the heavy stuff holding you down, you will rise. And along the way, as you become a vibrational match to things, you know, like as your vibration starts rising, all of a sudden you get easy parking. You have, you know, a raise at work that you thought was a year away. Littler things start falling into place on your way to the big thing.
I love that. That's such a great analogy. I love analogies. Anyone who listens to my stuff.
We have that in common.
Yeah, it's the best. I'm like, oh, I love it. This is such a good, I just picture it. I had one of my top manifestation coaches. Her name is Mary Morrissey, and she's the sweetest. She's like my little grandma soul, like mentor lady. And I first learned about manifesting from Louise Hay probably back in 2012, 2013, and you know, got introduced into that world of like Les Brown and The Secret. Actually, I learned about The Secret when I was in high school. My boss, actually, The Secret, for anyone who doesn't know, is a movie that was put out by Bob Proctor, is who made it, and he kind of introduced people to one part of the world of manifesting and calling in what you want. And when I used to work at a spinal rehabilitation clinic when I was in high school, from eighth grade until I went to college. And it was required by our boss to watch The Secret every week.
I love that. Every week.
every week for like a period of time. She was like really like excited about it for a period of time. It wasn't like for the whole 6 years that I worked there or whatever, but she was really, really big on mindset and on manifesting because we had patients who were in chronic pain and we were creating an environment that the minute that they walked in, their vibration needed to shift because people who are in chronic pain often get stuck into that vibration. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in this low vibrational place. And even if they're getting better from diet, lifestyle, the treatments we were doing, if their vibration was still low and they weren't working on that or shifting that, they would stay in that pattern. So it was literally a part of our job description to keep a high vibration in the office. And so, yeah, The Secret was something that we watched all the time and talked about it. And so that was my first introduction into manifestation. I was what, like 13, 14, 15? I don't even know how old you are when you're like in eighth grade, freshman year. But I then found Mary Morrissey later. And it's so funny because I am a believer that just things happen for a reason, which I know is like a really triggering thing for people to hear, especially in the infertility space. But there's this balance and this integration, I think, that happens where there are things that are maybe meant to happen, things that also suck, that aren't fun, and that are really crappy in the moment. And there's this integration between the two of them that is kind of hard for people because it feels like they're opposites. You know, but one is sort of victim mentality. The other is, how is this potentially rigged in my favor? Like, what good could come out of this? But we were deep in our infertility journey, and I had signed up for this other random like business conference, and I didn't know anything about this woman. I didn't know anything about this conference at all. Like, I'm not even kidding you guys. I didn't know anything. I just felt so intuitively called. It was a free part of me signing up for this conference. They're like, oh, and as part of your ticket, you get to go to this free conference in Dallas. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even look into it. I was just like, I have to go. I have to go to this. And I convinced my husband to go with me. We flew, both of us flew to Dallas to a conference that I had no idea what it was about. I knew nothing about the person speaking. And we walked into this conference completely blind. And that's what she was teaching, was manifestation. And she was a huge part of changing my life, which I can maybe just like finish this story quickly, because what she taught, a lot of different things, and I actually ended up doing a whole year mentorship with her. But her whole thing is, you can't get to your dream, you have to come from it. And so that's kind of what you're talking about on the sense of getting on that higher vibration. But like you said, if you have things that are tying you down, things that you need to heal, and all of that, it's really hard to get to that vibration.
And to stay there. And you to can touch there. It, but you can't stay there.
Yeah. And the analogy I always would use, so I would have these conversations with people in my life who are struggling, and I would always say, you know, you're in an elevator. Imagine you're in an elevator. The thing that you want is on the fifth floor, right? Whether that's a boyfriend, a baby, the dream life, the dream house, whatever, and you're on the second floor. And as much as you walk around that floor and do all of this stuff, if you don't learn ways to get in that elevator and go up to the fifth floor, the thing is there. Like, imagine you're in a hotel, the guy is walking around, or, you know, the thing that you want is up there at the same time simultaneously as you are, but you're on the second floor.
I tell my clients this all the time. I use an apartment complex. I say you're living on the third floor of the apartment, and like the penthouse suite is there. Mm-hmm. But like, and can you, if your soulmate lives on the 12th floor, because I so much work with women who are seeking healthy soulmate partnership. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, if your soulmate's on the 12th floor, is there a chance he's going to come down to the first floor and get his mail and you might meet him? Yeah. But your chances of running into him are so much less.
Yep.
And if you can't get to the 12th floor, you're not gonna be able to keep it, right? Like, you got to get yourself up there.
Yep. So that's like the really good analogies. I love the balloon analogy. I love the elevator analogy, because it's like, what things can you do to move up those floors so that it's not like the minute you're on the fifth floor, you're automatically married, you know? But that's where you can run into them, because they're walking around on the fifth floor, or that's like where your life is that you imagine. And so I'll circle back around later in the podcast and share my experience with that conference, because she had us do an exercise and it was just like really cool. And I have a really fun like segue to that, but I want to hear about you. So we're talking about, you know, you're a medium, manifestation. How did you even get into this?
Well,
because how does one get to be who you are?
This is a really fun thing to be talking to you because it's really Mike. It's Mike's fault. Leah's husband. So we were at like a barbecue in 2017. And I was talking to Mike, and Mike's mom was in the process of like practicing mediumship skills. And I was talking to him, and I was like, oh my God, I want to talk to her. Because I grew up from a Christian family, going to church every Sunday, like very much that. However, my dad is very spiritually gifted. Our whole family has stuff. And so Christianity was kind of like where we were at, but there were always things that didn't quite fit in that bucket. So I was kind of considered myself like a Christian with extras because I was like, I don't know what else, you know? So like my dad, for those that are part of the belief system, it, like most people in the spirituality bubble believe in multiple lives. And along with that, before you incarnate into your next life, you have these guides, these spirit guides that kind of like help walk you through, okay, this is what your soul didn't finish learning in the last life. Here are some obstacles and some things that we're going to encounter in this life so that you can grow your soul. You're going to boot camp, right? Like this is, we're growing your soul. And then you have these guides throughout the entirety of your life to help you. So I was not aware of this thought process until about 2017, but my whole life growing up, my dad always had, quote, the boys. And we called them guardian angels because we didn't have another word for them, but they're his guides. And they, I mean, our family as a whole has some near death experiences that make no sense. Science can't figure it out. Logic can't, there is no, you can't logic your way through it. It is nothing short of miraculous scenarios that kept us alive as a family multiple times. And my dad always was like, it was the boys. Like they saved us. They helped, you know, whatever. So I grew up with this idea of, you know, spiritual beings watching over you, I guess. And so when I started talking to Mike at this barbecue and he started talking about spirit guides, I was like, oh my God, that's the boys. Like, I know what these are. I just didn't know what they were. And we started talking and he talked about, you know, my mom's been doing this and whatever. And I was like, well, I want to talk to her. And he was like, well, she's not seeing people, like she's not ready. And I was like, okay, well, when she is, like, let me know. And then it was I mean, this was 2017 and I got a text from Mike out of the blue in 2020. So like many years later, and good old Mike just texted me, she's ready, period. Oh my and gosh. Her phone number. That was it. And I immediately knew exactly what he was talking about. I was in the pinnacle of a 3.5-year abusive relationship. I had been married previously, divorced in 2017. I did not do what all of my healed friends advised. I did not take the time to heal. I did not take time off of dating. I decided to pacify my sadness and jump straight into online dating. And because I was highly insecure, feeling like, you know, I'm about to turn 30 and I'm divorcing, all my friends are having babies and I'm starting over, I felt like washed up goods. And so I was dating from that vibration. And
you were, you know, on like the basement floor.
I was in the basement. I was below the basement. I was like literally in the sewer. And so all of the people I encountered online dating were the Peter Pans, the Playboys, the F-boys, you know, whatever. And so I, of course, attracted in a covert narcissist who treated me like absolute trash. And so I was 3.5 years into this abusive relationship and was finally starting to see through the fog and understanding that I needed to get out and that I really felt deep down in my core that there was a better life for me. I just loved him and wanted him to magically wake up and decide to be a good person. And couldn't see my way out of it. And Mike texted me in this moment. And I had a trip with him planned, my ex, a trip with him planned to Mexico. And I planned a session with Mike's mom like 2 days before we were supposed to leave. And I was like, this session's going to ruin my life. Like, I just knew it. I just knew she was going to like burst me wide open. And her and I had never met. I didn't know her from anything. At that time, I hadn't really started even being honest about how bad my relationship was. So even my close friends, like, it's not like you could have given her a call and been like, this guy's terrible. Yeah. Like, nobody knew yet. Right. And you didn't like him, but nobody knew that he was, like, all out abusive.
Right.
And so get in there, get into the session. And the first thing, she looks at me and she goes, so you're in an abusive relationship. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, he was abused as a kid. And I was like, And she goes on to just tell me
chills.
Everything. Well, this is where my whole spiritual awakening like burst wide open. So the only other like woo-woo spiritual anything I had ever done was while I was still married. My ex-husband went to Bastia with Leah and Morgan. And this is how I know all of these girls. My like greatest gift in all of my whole life is all of the women that I met throughout that period of my life. And during the time that he was in school, I had some severe anxiety surrounding health. And I constantly felt like I was dying all the time. And I knew it was crazy, but I couldn't get myself out of it mentally. And it was just like this crazy low. And I, in a like fit of panic, hired a hypnotherapist and was like, well, maybe she can heal me. Maybe she can fix it. And in that hypnotherapy session, which had to have been like 2015, 2016, she ended up doing a past life regression. And I didn't even know that was a thing back then. Like, I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, back in Roman times, you made a decision that you thought was going to save the people around you, and it ended up killing them all. And you carry that guilt and that anxiety with you from then. Like, that's like a generational, like, scar trauma that's in your soul, basically. Like, that needs to get healed. And so that was that. And that had been, you know, 6 years ago. Well, now I'm in this session with my abusive, like with Mike's mom, doing the whole thing. And I was like, okay, I want to know about my guides. Like, tell me who they are. I want to know, like, I want boys. Like, my dad has the boys. I want to know who mine are. I want to know. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, well, you have one who's like far away and he's just kind of watching you from behind. And your grandma's always on your left-hand side. And I'm like, well, that, of course she is. Like, yes. And then she said, you have this other one. And she gets really quiet and she goes, he loves you. And as soon as she said it, my whole body, like, it felt like my chest burst wide open. I got full body chills. And she looked at me and she goes, he was a soulmate of yours in a past life. And you guys have been each other's guide in every life since.
Wow.
And his entire mission for you in this life is for you to find your person. That's all he cares about, is for you to find true love and be happy and all these things. And I could feel like I was literally sobbing. I'm like, just met this woman and I'm just like sobbing. And so I was like, okay, well, when was the last time we lived a life together? Like, we were soulmates in a life together. When was it? She gets really quiet and then she looks at me and she goes, Roman times. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
And she goes, you made, and then she goes, you made a decision and he died and you felt guilty about it. And I was like, what?
Oh,
like,
oh my God, your mind is blown.
There is a 0% chance that she would have put, like, there is no way that anybody would just magically say the exact same thing. There is just no way. I was absolutely like floored, mind blown, couldn't. And so she went on to basically say, hey, you have a soulmate in this life, and but you have free will. And I think that's kind of like some, like, one of the most empowering things to me was, some people are like, oh, so you're saying I put myself in this position? And people get defensive, as where I looked at it like, so you're saying I put myself here, which means I can get out of here. Like, I can fix this. And so she was like, you know, you can stay with your abusive boyfriend forever. Like, it looks like you were trying to learn this lesson in the last life and you didn't. So you can just keep on keeping on, but you're going to get it over and over again. Like, until you learn it, you're going to keep getting it. And so she told me that my person felt like Matthew McConaughey in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days when he brings Kate Hudson home to meet the family and falls in love with her. That was like the vibe. And so her and I had this joke. I was like, well, when I meet him, you know you're going to be getting pictures of Matthew McConaughey. Like, you know that. Which, ironically, I got some crazy Matthew McConaughey references from that point forward and always kind of looked at it as, like, my guides playing jokes. Like, you're on the right path, kid. Like, you got this. But I continued seeing her probably every month for the first little while because I wouldn't have – I mean, I broke up with my ex and I was with Leah literally – in her kitchen, and my ex texted me like begging for me to change my mind, and I was sitting there crying looking at her, and she's like, don't do it, don't believe him, he's not changed, it's not gonna change, like, don't you dare. And I literally had to draft the text with Leah and send it together because I didn't have the strength to stay away. It's, you're under a spell. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, leaned on all of my people, and it wasn't until probably 6 months later that she was like, you know, you do this, right? And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, you do this, you're a medium. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yes, you are. Like, XYZ happens. And I'm like, well, yeah. And she's like, that's doing it. And I'm like, no, it's not. And she's like, yes, it is. Like, it's the same. And I think what I didn't realize is, just because your spiritual gifts don't look like someone else's doesn't mean you don't have them, right? So like, yeah, even Leah, you're like, well, I'm not a medium. Well, are we sure? Like, you're highly intuitive. Your manifesting your manifesting skills are on point. But the coolest thing I've learned from the more spiritual people I've come into contact with since is everybody, it's literally like X-Men or like any superhero movie, right? Like, everyone's got a different power, and everybody is like, oh man, you can fly. Like, all I can do is read minds. Like, everybody's got something different. And it just looks different for everyone. So, you know, where some mediums can see in Technicolor like a movie, other people are, you know, like, you've got the clair senses. So you hear things, or you just all of a sudden know something inherently, or you can feel it, or you can see it in your mind's eye, or, you know, there's like all these different ways. And I just didn't realize that if it looked different, it still counted, I guess.
Yeah.
And I had actually, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my sister's also very intuitive. It's so funny that Mike's mom, super crazy talented, my sister also. And so, you know, that's why I guess I say I'm not a medium, because she'll like literally get messages from like someone's, you know, dead brother in the sauna. You know, that happened once at the gym, and she's like, I don't even know what to do with this. She learns now how to like block it out.
But, which is like, so I don't important.
It's so super important. And especially people who are sensitive, which you guys should check out my sister's podcast. She just launched it. It's called Finding Home Healing. And she teaches about a lot of these things too. But a lot of people who are very sensitive are sensitive to food. They're sensitive to other people. They're sensitive to the environment, but they're also sensitive
to the other side. Which you are, Leah.
I know. But it's just funny for anyone listening, because I think maybe even people listening might be like, oh, I didn't realize that I also maybe have those feelings and thoughts. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. But like, the more you lean into it, like the more you get. Right? The more you acknowledge, the more happens. It's something that comes. So like, I didn't used to be able to just magically talk to someone's dead dad until I could, until it happened, you know, like it came over time. But probably my first medium experience, which is fun for this podcast, was a friend of mine. She had a long infertility journey, years. And got pregnant with twins via IVF, and was so excited, and got to 35 weeks pregnant and lost one of the twins. And it was absolutely uncontrollably heart-wrenching, and just, I mean, the worst, absolute worst. And had a healthy baby girl. And this was probably, oh, I don't know, 2 months later. And I was in my car on my way to go see Mike's mom. I don't know if we're spitting names, so I'm just saying Mike's mom.
That's okay.
And so
you can say her name. I'm sure.
So I was on my way to go see her, and I'm just, you know, driving my car, and all of a sudden I felt a baby. I just knew it was a baby. God knows why. And it was like all up in my shit, all up in my head, my ear. And it was, I did it to save my sister, like over and over and over again. And I was like, are you the twin? Like, it was just like, what is happening? And it was the first time that it was like that. Like, it came out of nowhere. It was really overwhelming. I was like, am I losing my mind? Like, have I gone nuts? Mm-hmm. And so at the end of my session, I was like, hey, this weird thing happened. I'm not going to tell you anything because I need you to check my work, because I think I've gone crazy. So I need you to just check in and see if anything comes to you, and check my work, because like, I'm a little scared. And so I told her nothing, and she goes quiet, and she goes, oh, it's really sad. And I looked at her, and she goes, it's a twin. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And she, And she goes, oh my gosh. And I was like, what? And she goes, she did it to save her sister. And I was just like bawling. I was like, that's what she told me. But what does it mean? Because like, I didn't know how to like ask questions, you know, like, I don't know. It was just kind of like the little soul was like, wait, you can see me? You can hear me? I'm going to just yell in your ear. But like, I don't know how to communicate with you. And she ended up saying that basically it was only ever supposed to be this one baby. But she was the same soul, which anybody, Morgan actually was the one that recommended this book called Spirit Babies. But anybody that's in the woo space, read it, listen to it. It changed my life. It changed the way I think about conception and souls and babies. And it's the coolest book ever. But anyway, she was like, that same baby girl soul had been following her and had experienced every miscarriage, everything. It was her over and over again. And so when it finally came time for her to go in and like really be born, she was afraid and was like, I'm not going back in there. Like, I always don't make it. Like, I don't want to go in there again. And so apparently this other soul was like, listen, I'm going to hop in. I'm going to hold your hand right until like, until we know you're good, like until we know you're safe. And then I'm just going to go. And so the message basically was like, as sad and terrible and tragic and awful as it is, that baby was never meant to come in at that time. There's nothing the mom could have done. There's no thing she could have eaten. There's nothing she could have skipped. You know, like there's absolutely nothing that could have happened, because the plan all along was this was just like a little buddy coming in to make sure that that little girl stayed and got all the way through. And I mean, does it make it less painful? No. But it's, there is beauty in it. So anyway, that was a long-winded way of, that's how I kind of dove off the deep end of manifesting and mediumship. And I just went full tilt, healing journey, spiritual journey, manifested the heck out of a really awesome man who, I mean, there's like so many crazy stories leading up to him. My dad had a dream about him 3 years before we met, and it was like the identical description, and met him, and within like a day we were like, oh, we're getting married, this is happening. And like on our third date he met my parents, and I told my mom I was gonna marry him, and her answer was, I know. I was like, what?
Aww, that's so sweet.
And that day, like, we left and he hugged my dad goodbye, and my dad turned to my mom and he was bawling and was like, that was the guy from my dream, like, Brooke's gonna marry that guy. And my mom was like, that's what Brooke said. So we just had like this crazy meeting story. We got married 6 months after we met. And then we just had this last 2 year, I mean, fertility journey that resulted in finding toxic mold in my system. I say thanks to Leah, genuinely thanks to Leah, because I could have brought a baby into a very toxic home and in a toxic body. And so that took about a year, and then had a miscarriage just about a year ago right now. And then here I am, almost 19 weeks pregnant.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
We had the anatomy scan today, and it's a healthy boy.
I'm so excited. We're going to have boys together.
Oh, so excited.
Oh my gosh. It's so, it's such a beautiful story. And I think sharing stories like this, these, I don't even want to call them success, because success doesn't feel like the right word, but just happy ending stories, especially when you come from a hard place, you know, I think gives people a lot of hope that no matter where you are on your journey, you know, whether it's navigating relationships or hardships or, you know, trying to conceive or all of these things, that there's hope.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are drawn to you and the work that you do because of that in your story. I think similarly, people are drawn to me because of that too. And I think it's important for us to talk about the nuances, because I see in the infertility space especially, and in the miscarriage and loss space and all of these spaces where women are trying to become mothers. And, you know, one of the probably most triggering things that people talk about is when people say, oh, well, it just wasn't meant to happen. You know, like, you know, you had that miscarriage. Oh, it's fine. Like, you just weren't meant to have that baby. And
you're like, you know, screw you, lady.
I know, this is just part of, you know, the process. And it's tricky because there's so much truth in a lot of the things that people say. It's just, it can be really hurtful when you're in that space of really struggling. And that's something I just feel like along my journey, I've always had to hold two different ideas at the same time. Like I mentioned, two hands that feel opposite, but they're for me, I have found that the answer is an integration of the two of them. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Did you know that 97% of women in the US take a prenatal supplement, yet 95% plus are still deficient in key nutrients? My favorite prenatal is from a company called Needed because they dose nutrients at levels to not just meet the bare minimum as most prenatals do. They actually use form of nutrients and dosages that allow mama and baby to thrive. Needed actually approached me years ago and asked me if I could help them design the perfect prenatal because they knew that the current prenatals available were not actually helping women. We spent over 3 years diving into the research and understanding what practitioners are seeing and what women actually need at this important season before we formulated this amazingly supportive option. It's no wonder over 4,000 practitioners now recommend Needed, something I am very proud of. If you have followed me for a while, you know that prenatals and optimizing nutrients starts long before pregnancy, so no matter where you are along your fertility or motherhood journey, Needed is the brand I recommend. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% on your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%.
Okay, back to the show.
So, you know, I was introduced, the first experience I ever had with a medium was when I was 18. We were in college. Morgan was there. Dr. Morgan. We went to the man called Rockman, and he was just this like uber hippie in Colorado, like the mountains of Boulder. Oh, my God. And we went there and we each had a reading with him, and I had never had a reading before. You know, I was raised Catholic, and, you know, it was just very funny. But I remember him looking at me. So this was probably before I met Mike. Maybe I had just met Mike, because I met Mike when I was 18 in college. And I had been terrified my whole life of getting pregnant when I wasn't supposed to. And LOL, very funny. And you know, I didn't like have sex early in my life or anything, actually, but I just, it was always on my mind, like, I don't want to get pregnant. And then when I met Mike, I was like terrified. You know, I got on birth control right away. But this guy looked at me, you know, in the reading, and he's like, I see a baby boy. And it was like so beautiful, because he's like, he has been waiting for so long to be your child, your son, and he will wait forever. Like, he's just there, but he is ready. He is there. He is ready. And I remember Rockman said, he said, get on birth control, because if you're not ready to have a child, you need to prevent, because this baby is like ready to come into the world. And so I was like, oh my God, you know, like, here I am. I'm 18. I still have to go through college. I want to be a doctor. I have that whole thing to get through. And here I'm being told there's this baby that is like ready to come into the world. And so, you know, I moved forward for years just having this thought that, oh my gosh, there's this baby coming in. And I had been told, and I'm not even kidding, by 6 or 7 other intuitive medium type people, even people that I didn't go to. Like, I would go to a massage with a woman and she'd be like, I sense this baby boy.
<It's> like, you're like, I know all about him.
Are you wanting to get pregnant? Because there's this baby boy here. And they explain him all exactly the same, like the same thing about his energy and where he's from and that he's a super old soul. And all of this stuff. And so when we found out about our infertility, I was so confused. Mm-hmm. You know, when I found out about Mike's sperm, that he didn't have a lot of sperm, I'm just like, I don't understand. I've been being told forever that there's this soul that is ready to come into the world. And here we are looking like we're not even meant to have children. Like, what is going on? You know? And so I had so many existential crises in my life around all of this, trying to make sense of it all. My husband remembers his past life. You know, we haven't talked about that. So we are very into like the woo-woo, if you want to talk about all of that. And so, you know, there's a lot of levels and layers to us. And I've talked on this podcast many times about all of the different healing that we have done together. And I see a lot of energy healers and spiritual people and stuff, because for me, that's helped my path more than like traditional talk Same. Therapy has. And so it was really tricky. And then I remember along our infertility journey, because there was a big part of me that was in the like more, you know, woo-woo type of world, people just like, well, just manifest it and it'll happen, you know? And it was really triggering.
Well, you're like, he doesn't have enough sperm.
I know. I was like, I know about manifestation. I understand about frequencies. And like, he has no sperm.
It's like also science. Like,
I know. I'm like, I get it. I get that like we need to get on that frequency. And I think that there is this happy medium. And, you know, for a long time, I did fight the idea of IVF and that we would need that because I was like, no, there has to be this miraculous way that we can get pregnant. I'm going to figure it out. We're going to like solve all the problems and it's just going to happen for us. We're going to be one of those success stories that you hear of the people that were told they'd never conceive and then they did. And I was so attached to that. But it was so crazy because we along our infertility journey still didn't know for so long if we would ever be able to have children. Mm-hmm. And here I am like being told by all these people that there's this baby boy soul that is meant to come into this world to do big things. I'm like, what do you even mean by that? Everyone's like, he's so special. I'm like, do you mean like he has autism special? Like, I don't understand. Like, what you, and they're like, no, no, like he's here for big thing. And I remember I like a couple different healers that I saw, and maybe it was Jessica, Mike's mom. She was super pivotal in our journey, telling me that he needed us to be certain people before he came into the world. He needed us to be a certain way that our infertility journey forced us to become.
Yeah.
You know, I think back, you know, 2015 when we found out about his sperm and who I am now, you know, yeah. 2024, and I'm completely different.
Well, and I ask clients all the time, like, do you have the capacity to hold the thing you're asking for? And the answer is often no. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so similar. And think of all of the like thousands of women that you can help navigate IVF because of this and all of the other mm-hmm. infertility struggles, right? Like you learned about all of that in naturopathic medical school, but the idea that like you quote unquote shouldn't have had to use IVF and did just furthers your reach in such a parallel way to like, I could never have helped the thousands of women I'm helping had I not myself experienced an abusive relationship and been like, oh, this is why you stay. Because from the outside, you're like, why wouldn't you just leave? Like, eh.
Yeah.
Until you're in it, and you're like, oh, because I'm under a spell, because I'm trauma bonded, because I'm all X, Y, Z million things. And this is why you're the frog that boils in a pot of water. Like, mm-hmm. this is why. And it's such a similar thing.
Yeah, no, it totally is. I think there's no amount of studying or school or anything that can give you the lessons that you learn by going through something. And
yeah.
just even like the practice of surrendering and accepting, which I've talked about on the podcast at other times too. And I told this story in a previous episode about how I fought and resisted our infertility journey so hard and I would not accept mm-hmm. it. But then I learned how to move through those stages. And when I ended up having my C-section with my daughter, I just tell the story about how I moved through those stages of acceptance so fast. And I remember being proud of my soul, being like, oh my gosh, I learned. Because just like you said, we come here to learn. I believe our souls come here to learn. It's like boot camp. And you will be presented with the same obstacle over and over again until you learn your lesson. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of it was acceptance and surrender and all of that. And I remember in her birth being like, oh my gosh, I actually feel like I've learned because I'm being presented with a similar situation where I have to do something I don't want to do in the medical space that I fight so hard against. And I just have to accept this. And, you know, even now going into my new baby's birth, the level of the acceptance and surrender that I already feel going into it is so different than I had going into Avia, where I'm like, it has to be this way. It has to be a home birth. I have to, you know, have X, Y, Z happen. And it's like, that has been my lesson to learn.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn it, you just get presented with these obstacles over and over again. But yeah, so I just wanted to highlight that because it's not like you can just sit here and be like, I want this thing and I'm just going to like focus really hard on it. You know, there is this integration of
yes.
what is happening in the real world and in the physical space, but then always holding that vibration of what you are calling in. Because what Mary taught me, which I love, is that you do not focus at all on how it happens.
No, never.
You have to release the how.
Yep.
You only focus on the what. And I think for a lot of people, and I'm included in that, which was one of my lessons, is that I do or used to, and still do probably to some extent, focus on the how, mm-hmm. because it's like, that's why she would always say miracles happen in ways that you could never have imagined, in timelines and in realities that don't even make sense to our brain. Mm-hmm. And so if you try to focus on the how, you actually get in the way of whatever you're calling into your space to actually manifest.
Or you end up with like a lesser version, like something not as good, because you don't even know how good, you know, like one of the two. So one thing that really shifted the way that I move through life lessons for me was, instead of, like, for example, when we were going through our miscarriage, I had what would have already been really sad made traumatic by way of the Western medical system. I got like so mishandled in my miscarriage. And instead of asking myself, like, why is this happening to me? You get inquisitive and you say, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. And like that subtle shift and ability to be like, okay, but why actually? Like, what lesson am I being called to learn here so that I don't have to repeat it again? Mm-hmm. I would love to do it once. And for me, it was like, okay, clearly I didn't know. I mean, again, some of my very closest people are Dr. Morgan, Dr. Leah, women from Bastyr. I am well versed in the crunch. And when I first got pregnant, Morgan was like, so home birth on the boat. I live on a boat. And Morgan was like, home birth on the boat. And I was like, oh, get out of here. Absolutely not. I'm not home birthing a baby on a boat. Like, get out of town. And so I was like, I can totally just like go to the normal hospital and have like a normal, like, unmedicated birth. And like, I'll be fine. I'm not going to get forced into anything. And my miscarriage really taught me, like, once you're on the Ferris wheel of forced interventions, it doesn't stop. You can't stop it. Once you get on the wagon, you're on the wagon. And so in that really traumatic experience and the things I was forced to do largely against my will that ended up being lies anyway, I was like, you know what? This was a gift, because I could have gotten all the way through a pregnancy and gone to go in and have a birth and gotten forced into all of these things during labor and delivery that I wasn't expecting. And mm-hmm. I am now given the gift in this pregnancy to choose a different path for myself in where I give birth, who my OB is, what their mentality and philosophies are surrounding birth. And like, I am going to give birth in a hospital, but my OB is someone who specializes in unmedicated birth. And his second hand is a midwife. And like, she told me at our last appointment, she's like, I'll deliver your baby in the shower. And then she looked at my husband and she goes, or you can catch it. Like, it just, like, such a different mentality. And it's like, I wouldn't have the opportunity to have that experience had I not had this previous experience. And had we not found the mold, I could have been bringing a baby into this world that had issues from the start, could have been given serious health issues from its living space. And I would have never been able to, you know, get rid of that guilt. And so while it was happening, all of it felt terrible. And of, you know, I'm 36, I'll be 37 when I give birth. So I'm older. And there was a lot of times that I felt like I was just, time was up. It wasn't going to happen. And so while you're moving, you know, while I was having the miscarriage, it was like, why is this happening? Like, what the hell? Like, I did all the things. Mm-hmm. I manifested, I got rid of the mold. I did everything I was supposed to do. I'm healthy. I'm detoxed. I'm everything. And so kind of recentering and being like, okay, no, but why? Like, why? Where mm-hmm. is the lesson and how can I learn it? Was so helpful. But then kind of speaking to your, you know, letting go of the how and how you have to have a balance between, like, we're living in a 3D world where, like, we can't just, like, vibe our way to anything that we want all the time. One thing that I have kind of coined in my world with my clients is what I call the triple alignment manifestation technique. So
I love that. Tell us about that.
You've got healing, manifesting, and movement, and they're all working together like you're juggling. So when you first start out a healing journey, your healing is going to be at a much greater percentage than your manifesting and your movement.
Yeah.
But then as you move through the stages of healing and you let go of a ton of trauma and you work through a bunch of your subconscious beliefs, now all of a sudden, instead of that being 80% of your focus, it's now 20, 15% of your focus. And you can focus more heavily on manifesting and moving. When I tell you this is 100% of the time, any of my clients come to me and they say, I feel stagnant, nothing's happening. One of those three things is at a 0%.
Mm-hmm.
One of them. So you can be manifesting your little butt off and healing your little butt off, but sitting on the couch expecting the skies to open up and everything to be placed on your lap. And that's not how it works. And yeah. So often it's like, okay, you're healing. Good, good, good. You're manifesting. Mm-hmm. Great. You're working on being high vibe. Great. Are you moving towards your goal? Are you going out and doing your part? No? Okay, work on that. Or you are working towards the thing and you are manifesting, but you have stopped focusing on healing at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's holding you back? What string is holding your balloon back? It's always one of them. Always. And like, yes, of course, in all of this, you can be doing everything perfectly and there are periods of waiting and there are periods of like staying the course and who mm-hmm. are you when everything's not perfect, you know? But I think that one of the easiest ways to look at it in my perspective and releasing the how is making a to-do list for yourself and the universe or God or whatever your belief system is. Mm-hmm. And so if we're talking about conception, on the right-hand side for me was always bring me a healthy baby. I want a healthy mm-hmm. baby. When? Not really. Nothing I can do about that. However it happens, bring me a healthy baby. On my side, what can I do? What do I have control over? How can I move towards mm-hmm. that goal? I can make sure that I'm taking the right supplements. I've done all of the right testing. I've gotten the mold out of my system. We live in a healthy household, you know? And like I said before, do you have the capacity to hold the thing you're asking for? Is your life in a place where you can accept the thing? You know, like I also mm-hmm. started taking a look at the way that I work. I'm self-employed. And I had the luxury as a 36-year-old married woman with no kids to work whenever I want, all day long if I want to, a million jillion hours. And that is not a luxury I will have in 5 months. Right. That will be taken from me very quickly. And so I realized like, oh, I want this little thing, but I don't actually have room in my life for it right now. I don't have a time. I have no ability to actually care for the thing I'm asking for. And so I started changing the way that I worked and making sure that I was building a business that could carry the freedom I needed in order to be a mother. And
I love that.
Focusing on what I could focus on, right? Like mm-hmm. I do my to-do list. My to-do list is make sure my body is optimized, make sure I'm taking my supplements, make sure I'm working out. You know, you told me, you're like, Brooke, it's so good that you're going to the gym every day. That's so nice. I love that for you. But like, what are you doing lifting such heavy weights? Like, get into your feminine, my dude. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, do some yoga for the love of everything. You're like, chill. And so I did have to like, okay, I'm going to work out 3 days a week, a little bit less intensely. I'm going to work on moving. I'm going to get 10,000 steps a day instead and like sink into my feminine, gain a couple pounds that I hated to look at because issues.
Gain like, some weight, girl.
Like, look like a woman, my dude.
Femininity loves curves.
And hey, if it didn't work, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. fertility formula success story over here. Like, I mean, we got pregnant on our first try when I miscarried. So I knew mm-hmm. that it wasn't an infertility issue, which was amazing after everything we had done.
Yeah.
And then the second go around, it was our second month. And it was like, well, mm-hmm. you know, all of that work that we did worked. You know, it was just a matter of timing and lessons and making sure that clearly this baby had a way it wanted to come in and it wasn't under the bright lights of Sharp Mary Birch, plug her in, hook her up, cut everything immediately, just stick it up, you know, like it needed to be a calmer, more natural pace for this little guy. Yeah. So
I love that. Yeah, I love the way you teach that and how all three of those things are so important. The healing is huge, you know, releasing the things that tie the balloon down, the manifesting, which is calling in, you know, moving on that vibration, knowing what it is that you're even, you know, wanting. Mm-hmm. And then the movement, which is the part that you actually have to do the work, because I think some people have a hard time because it's like, yeah, you don't just sit on your couch and be like, I want a baby. The end. It's like, no, but you still have to be doing things.
People want the easy button.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like maybe my trigger these days. It's my soapbox, but like, it's like, give me the diet tea so I don't have to work out. No. Like,
yeah, no, you have to do the work.
You have to do the work to get to the thing. And I think that so many people are like, but healing sounds scary. Yeah, it sure does. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Yeah, and it is.
It is. And like detoxing off of mold. I mean, I remember when we found out and you're like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, why? If I didn't know,
it would have been. I find mold in a patient, I'm like, I'm sorry. This sucks.
When it was, I mean, we went $50,000 into debt remediating. Like it was a brutal time. However, it saved our lives.
Yeah, and your child, because there are a lot of repercussions that can come from a child being raised in a moldy environment. You know, we see that in neurodevelopmental issues. It's actually why I think there's so many neurodevelopmental issues in kiddos in California in particular, because, you know, the autism rates in California are even higher than any other state. And, you know, people are just like, why? What's going on? Like, people in California are so healthy. And I'm like, there is mold everywhere. But I mean, there's mold in lots of different places. So that's a whole other thing. We have a whole episode on mold. I interviewed Dr. Leslie, you know. Leslie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
about that. But yeah, I think that's so beautiful. Your story is so beautiful. And, you know, I'll, you know, we can say a few more things, but I want to wrap up because I want to share my story too of this Mary Morrissey conference, because that's, I think, one of the biggest things that we have a hard time, that I have a hard time with. Obviously, it's my path, not everybody's path, but of releasing the how, because it does wig us out, because we're just like, what? Like, what do you mean? And it's like, yes, you have to take the steps. You have to do the work. You have to focus on this manifestation, but you don't get to control, you don't get to control the how it happens and like the timeline and holding so tightly. But what you want to do with manifestation is imagine that frequency, like that thing that you want. And when I went to Mary Morrissey, she had this exercise for us where we write out our dream life. Mm-hmm. This was like 3 or 4 years in the future. And she's like, don't worry at all about where you are now. None of that matters. Just exactly what would bring you joy. So we wrote down our longings and our discontents. That's what she calls them. So what are you longing for? And what are you discontented about in your life in 4 different categories, which was your health, your time and money freedom, your vocation, which is how you spend your time and talents, because not everybody who spends their time is to make money, and then your relationships. And we wrote it all down, whatever, and we like imagined this dream life. And at this time, this was 2019, so we were 4 years into our infertility journey. We still didn't think at all that we would have children because of Mike's diagnosis. We were trying all the things. It wasn't working. It had been 4 years. We were living in California in a rental, like, you know, kind of barely making it. And I was full-time in practicing patients, completely burned out and exhausted. And I had this dream life, and it like gives me chills because I, more than anything, I wanted a baby in a home. Mm-hmm. And it felt impossible. Like, it literally felt impossible at the time. But they're like, don't worry about your current circumstances. Don't worry about any of that. Like, what is on your heart? What is your dream? And I really connected to that. And this is an exercise that I always recommend people do. And she teaches something called Timeline, which I did with you.
Yep. I remember. Never forget house. It. Right before we sent that text message.
I know. It's the best. It's the best. And I'm going to do it for my birth, the birth for my baby actually coming up. I'm going to write it all out for the blessing way. But basically, I like had this dream life, and I remember I could like taste it. It was so clear, because she says, write it as vividly as possible, like you're describing a movie, like so clear. And I saw this house. I knew exactly the layout. I knew the kitchen was on the left. There was a living room, like a big open concept with a backyard, you know, with the glass doors. And like around that corner, there was a fireplace, and around that corner was a master bedroom. Upstairs, there were bedrooms. I could see it so clearly. I could have painted it for you.
You even told me there was like a water feature. I remember you saying there's a water feature outside, which there is. Like, what?
Oh my God. So it's just like, I knew this house. I was like, this, and it was huge. This big, beautiful house. I'm like, I don't even think there are houses like this in California. You know, at the time we were like thick in California. My husband worked in biotech, you know, so anyways, so I'm like manifest, or I'm thinking of this house, and in my vision, in my dream, I'm walking out of my master bedroom into the living room, pregnant. Mm-hmm. And there's a toddler in the living room. So I'm pregnant with a second baby. There's a toddler in the living room. We're in this big, beautiful house, and I'm working very differently. Like, I'm in this dream. I'm not like commuting to this office that I was commuting to 45 minutes every day. And I was working from home. There was like a little hut in the backyard that I like saw people, and I did stuff online. Like, I didn't know any of this wasn't happening for me in 2019, but this was like my dream when I imagined it. And it was so clear. It was the vibration, right? It was like, mm-hmm. I had gotten a window into the fifth floor or the penthouse. And I was like, this feels so real and amazing. But like, when I looked back at where I was like, it feels impossible, right? How could we possibly get to this place. I mean, what is Mike going to like win the lottery? Is that how we're going to have this house that I'm imagining? How are we going to have children?
Well, because in California, that house would be like $6 million.
Yeah, literally, it would
literally
be $6
million. Yeah, not a joke.
I know, because I looked. and we're in infertility. I mean, yeah. We like literally can't have a baby. I'm like, how am I going to have two babies? Like this dream felt absolutely impossible. But I just kept living in that vibration of giving thanks for this thing that I know was mine. Because if Mary would always say, if you can imagine it and you can dream it, it is yours in some reality. Yes. You just have to get there. You know, you just have to like be on that vibration. So I'm like, this desire wouldn't be placed in my heart if it wasn't possible. And I believed that.
You're giving your dreams for a reason.
Yeah, you're giving your dreams for a reason, and this very specific one. And so I just kept holding on to that, right? And this was 2019. Anyways, because so this is like a 3-year like vision, whatever. I like had this experience the other day. You guys, I'm literally pregnant with my second child with a toddler in the living room in the dream house of my dreams. The kitchen's on the left. There's a big backyard, glass things with the water feature. Fireplace, behind the fireplace is the master bedroom. Like the house I am living in right now is the house for my dreams.
Yep.
And if you would have asked me in 2019 how this was going to happen, I would have had no idea. I didn't think we were doing IVF at that point. I never thought we'd move to Idaho. I'm like, it would have blown my mind. My husband worked in biotech. He's like, I can't ever leave California. Biotech is only in California. We can never live anywhere else. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, it's just so crazy how the world will rearrange to make things happen. Did it mean that I just sat on a couch and magically got pregnant? No. You know, we had to move through IVF. We had to do all of these things. We had to do the healing and make these decisions. And certain things in our life had to fall into place for us to even have the idea, like, maybe we should leave California. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we should do these things. And just even the way that we got this house was just wild, because when you keep living on that frequency, at that vibration, the world rearranges itself to make it happen. But you don't know when or how. And, you know, we didn't move here till last year, but it was 2019 when I did that session or that vision with her. It was 2023 that I moved here. It's now 2024. So 5 years later, mm-hmm. I am now literally living in that vision, and it blows my mind. It blows my mind, because I'm like, wow, it actually like happened. So this is just an example, because I get it where it's triggering when people are like, you can't just manifest and like have a baby. And it's like, I get that. But
there's a thousand ways. I mean, you might get there. By you, I mean, not Leah, but anyone listening, you know, like it could happen through the IVF you never thought you were going to have, or marrying someone with the older kid. And then the other kid comes by way of this, or adoption, or that, like there's a thousand million kajillion ways that things
you
happen.
Just can't focus on the how. You there's just have no to keep to focusing know. On your dream. You yes. just keep focusing on your dream.
And so in talking about this, I have to share two things that I talk about all of the time with my clients. And the how part and not focusing on it, this analogy, since we're the analogy lovers, is like yes. my favorite analogy. Yay. When you are trying to manifest something. So at the time that I came up with this, I was trying to manifest my husband, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And my thought process was, when you book a vacation, that's 6 months from now, right? You book a trip to Cabo. You don't wake up every morning pissed that you're not in Cabo, because you know that you booked the vacation, and the vacation is for a time in the future that's not today. And when mm-hmm. you book that vacation, you don't wake up every day questioning if it's going to happen. You don't wake up every day worried about if a plane is going to exist that day, or if Cabo's going to disappear, or if you're not good enough for Cabo. You just wake up, and all you can do is prepare for the trip. That's it. That's all you can do. Knowing that the trip will come. So like, what do you have control over? A tan, a new bathing suit, some outfits for your trip, sunscreen, right? Mm-hmm. And so in my journey to manifesting my husband, I looked at him like booking a trip. Like, I've booked a soulmate.
Love that.
I booked him. I know yeah. he's coming. I know he will be delivered to me on the day of my vacation. Like, I've booked him. He's there. He exists. I don't have to wake up every day being like, oh, where is he? Because he's booked for the time that he's meant to be in my life. And so my thing was, every single day, all I can do is get ready for him. all I can do is make sure that I am the person I need to be so that I have the capacity to hold, you know, like, who do I want to be when I meet my perfect person? Not the girl I am today. So I better get ready. Like, what do I need to do? And looking at any manifestation like that, you know, like when I started this business, I was a photographer for 10 years. So like many of Leah's photos I've taken, all of Morgan's photos, basically, except for Sunday's birth that I missed. I was there for 2 weeks. So Leah did all of them beautifully and I edited them. But I was a photographer for 10 years. And so even in this business, like trying to move into, like, I had this huge dream for something that took over my photography business and allowed me to work at home and help all of these women. And it was like, well, how? I don't know. I have no idea. All I can do is get ready for it and work towards it. And had I been given this business I have now 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it and hold it and have the capacity and the foundations to run it. So there's that. And then the other thing I wanted to say to your point of having this vision, this dream, and it coming to light is I have clients every night before they go to bed, imagine that one scene. So like for you, it was the house and you're pregnant with the toddler. For me, it was, and I was in like for, and it's still the same today, I guess, because we're like, oh, only halfway there. But I also am, you know, I'm California born and raised. I have always seen myself as being here for the long haul. And for me, every night before I go to bed, I was in like the first person. So like looking at, I wasn't like seeing myself in the vision. I'm like in the situation, and it's me on a porch swing next to my person. And I could feel him, but I never saw his face. Like I didn't look up and see him. It's like, I could feel his arm around me. But what you want to do is every single night you want to make the vision more detailed. So the first night it's like, oh, I'm on a porch swing. And like, there are kids playing in the backyard in front of me. And then the next night it's like, oh, there's two. And what's funny, ironic, it's the vision. It's always been a boy and a girl, and I'm having a boy. Aww. So like, that's weird. Cause I always thought like my brain was always like girls. Anyway, so there's two kids playing, but like they're older. They're like 6 and 7 in this vision. Yeah. And I could feel every night. It was like, okay, now I can feel his arm around me. Now I can like, now we've got drinks in our hands. Now we're laughing. Now I can feel the breeze on my face. Now I can hear the kids laughing. Every single night you make it more and more and more and clear. But for some reason, I'm on a porch swing, which like those don't exist in California, on property with like this big backyard. Like none of it makes sense. And I married a man who like wants to go own 20 acres somewhere, not in California. And I'm like, oh, that's where the porch swing comes in. Like on the property that we want to own together. This makes so much sense now that I've met you. But it was never about trying to make sense of it. It was always about like, how do you feel in that moment? Put yourself on whatever it is, your version. You know, you're in the kitchen and your husband comes up and squeezes you from behind and you're making cookies at Christmas and you're pregnant, whatever the vision is. How do you feel in that moment? Try and feel it, because feeling it is the quickest method to get you into that vibration, right? Yep. The moment you let your brain take over and you start thinking about it too hard, you talk yourself out of it. You think, how can I own the $6 million house in California? I'm infertile. How do I have two kids? Like the whole thing.
Exactly.
So as long as you can spend time feeling it in that moment, not only are you helping yourself get to that vibration, but you're also telling your brain, like, this is a safe thing. Like, this is safe. This is no longer unfamiliar. This is a familiar thing. And it literally draws it towards you because now it's familiar. And like, there's science behind that. You know, like there's a famous rock climber who his thing is he does first attempt free solos. So he climbs without a rope and he summits, he completes these ridiculously hard rock climbs in his first attempt. And the way he does that is by studying for months and months and months and then pretending, like taking through his imagination himself through each step of the climb and literally like laying on his back like a dead bug, like like moving his arms exactly and it looks ridiculous, like it's crazy,
yeah,
but he's literally training his brain so that when he does it physically for the first time, his brain thinks, oh, we've done this a million times before, and there's like science behind it, like your brain's like, oh, we've done this, and you just do it. And that's the thought process behind what you were doing and how I like, it's such an easy thing to do right before bed. It gets you into like the perfect vibration, high place to fall asleep and like get into REM sleep.
Yes.
So yeah, that's one of my very favorite things to do and is exactly that.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. Yeah, I need to start doing that for my birth. I'm going to write it out tomorrow for my blessing way, which Yay. when this goes live, well, that will have already happened. I will have already given birth, but we will see how it goes. And yeah, you can do it for anything. We do Time Machine. My husband and I do Time Machine all the time. If he has like a big important meeting or whatever, I'm like, okay, let's do Time Machine. Like, and Time Machine is where you imagine this thing that you want. You know, it can be small stuff too, like how the meeting goes or whatever. And then you pretend like you're fast forwarded through time. It's already happened, and you tell it back to the person in past tense, as if it already happened, exactly as it went, exactly as you wanted it to go. And it can help put you on that vibration. And, you know, we find it to be very helpful for lots of things. So
you taught me how to do it. We did it together.
Yeah. Mary taught me. This is a Mary Morrissey thing.
Well, and I kind of modified it when I couldn't do it. Like, because there's not everybody has people that you're like, so we're going to do this thing real quick. It's going to be kind of weird. Like, we have that friendship, but like not many people in the world can like, be like, so we're going to do this weird thing real quick. And so I started doing it with myself, Leah, using my phone. So I would pretend I'd be on a dog walk, and I'd pretend that I was like updating a friend about my life and literally talk on the empty phone.
Yes, which is certifiable. Or into a voice message, you know, if you want to like keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And totally. It's you just have to get there. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, I love that. So great. This is such a good episode. I'm so stoked that we did it.
Me too.
So why don't you tell people where they can find you, where they can work with you if people are interested. Tell us all the things.
So I have a podcast called Love Her Wild. It's on every streaming platform. We talk all things manifestation and healing and how to get you to the life that you're dreaming of. I am Mrs. Happily Ever After on TikTok, and I am Love Her Wild Podcast on Instagram. And same thing, I've got courses, and I do one-on-one sessions that are both mentorship-based and or mediumship readings. So I have them separated. I do mentorship for basically everything's connected, right? So like the way that you need to heal in order to go start your own business and be successful, you're going to be needing to heal through the same traumas and subconscious, you know, beliefs and all of that, that you're going to need to heal through to find a healthy partner, to get pregnant, to any of it. So when I work with clients, a lot of times I am kind of helping them like from a holistic standpoint of their whole life. And like, okay, how do these things that we need to heal through, how is that going to help you in business? How is that going to help you in your love life, whatever? And given that I've built up to very successful businesses on my own as an entrepreneur, I often end up with soul-led woo-woo women who are also trying to either transition a career, make their side hustle a whole hustle, like whatever. So I do one-on-one mentorship. I will do readings separately, because it's a whole – mentoring you is a whole different thing than like tapping in and like talking to grandma. So you choose. I'm happy to do either one. But yeah, we've got – really cool communities of women healing and manifesting and doing a bunch of cool stuff. And you can hear a ton of stuff for free on the podcast. And it's all healing and manifesting and moving.
Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much for being here, Brooke. This is such a pleasure and a joy for me.
I listen to you guys all the time. So it's fun to be on here.
Yay. Awesome. Okay. Well, I hope you have a great day.
Thanks.
Do you have your heart set on starting a family and are eagerly preparing to begin trying within the year? Have you been actively trying to conceive for several months? Do you have a burning desire to optimize your chances of conception and avoid the distressing path of infertility? Or have you been navigating infertility for a while, yet you yearn for new solutions, a supportive environment, and an approach that addresses the root causes of infertility? Our current fertility system is broken. Many couples receive almost zero support on optimizing their health and improving their chances of conceiving before or while trying to have a baby. 1 in 7 couples end up trying for over a year and then are often shuttled into the medication or reproductive technologies route like IVF. Although there is a time and a place for these tools, so many couples would have different outcomes if they had the education, resources, and support I provide in my Fertility Formula program. This program is a step-by-step, doctor-designed, holistic fertility solution for the couple who wants to conceive optimally. And it includes everything a couple needs to know with all of the resources I've created over many years seeing patients in practice. From mastering the cycle to boosting egg and sperm quality, balancing hormones, investigating female and male fertility, having access to order your own labs, both hormones and functional medicine labs, nourishing the body with eating and managing that whole aspect, fostering fertility energy, ditching toxins, reducing stress, rebalancing the gut and vaginal microbiomes, and detoxing prior to pregnancy, this program has it all. On top of that, it includes the bonus modules of breaking up with birth control, optimizing IVF if that ever becomes needed, and my pregnancy loss guide. This is the holistic information and step-by-step guidance you aren't getting from your regular doctor that will only improve your chances of conception and the health of your future baby, no matter where you are along your fertility journey, or no matter what support you might need, whether that's getting pregnant naturally or going through IUI or IVF. Visit www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off the entire program. Again, that's www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.